So as Peter said, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. We only have four more talks to go after this week. For those who joined us recently, it's a wonderful letter that Paul wrote in about AD 60. He was in prison, likely almost certainly in Rome, awaiting his first trial. And so he had been in Ephesus for 3 years, and he writes to them now about 5 or so years later to encourage them. Now, this is often called a circular letter, because it is a letter that we believe was passed around the churches of Asia Minor. Unlike many of Paul's other letters, there are not any great issues in the church here. It's a very general letter, and he's writing to equip the church also in light of his possible departure. And so the first three chapters are an amazing outpouring of praise to God for all of his grace to us as followers of Jesus. He's encouraging the suffering churches all over Asia Minor, saying, know what you have in Christ. You have been saved. You have been washed. You have been redeemed. You have been made God the Father's own beloved children. You have the power of God at work within you, enabling you to follow Jesus, enabling you to live different lives, lives that glorify him. So for the first three chapters, he just pours out this amazing, rich doctrine about who we are in Christ and the power of God at work within us. And then from chapters 4 through 6, the exact second half of the letter, he says, now, this is how you are then to live in light of God's grace in you, in light of God's power being poured out through you. And so last week, we looked at the first half of chapter 4, the first part of this great section of application. And Paul says, we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. That's the key verse. You are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And in the first half of chapter 4, he unpacks what this walk looks like, especially in the church. And we are to call to walk in a self-giving, others-serving love. We are called to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are called to use our spiritual gifts and our love and our time and our energy to build up our brethren as we grow together in spiritual maturity. And so the first half is all about how we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling in the church. The second half, today's reading, is about how we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling in all of life. We walk in everything we do, how we can glorify God. Now, this is no kind of a list of onerous commands. Rather, he's saying, in light of God's grace to you, in light of God's power in you, this is how you walk in step with the indwelling Holy Spirit. And when we walk in a way, we glorify God, and we show the world that God is at work in his people. He has redeemed us. He has changed us, and he has called us to be salt and light before a watching world. And so today we'll look at how we are to walk in all of life. And as we move through the rest of the letter, we see how we are to walk in our marriages, how we are to walk children and parents, how we are to walk in our work. And finally, there's this great kind of climactic call to put on the armor of God, being aware that we walk in spiritual warfare. We have been saved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and we have an enemy. And we have power in us, but we have to appropriate that power by putting on the armor of God, walking in his word, walking in truth, walking in prayer. Well, why don't we just bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll unpack this section together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful letter that teaches us all we have in Christ. Father, all of your grace poured out upon us and through us. And Lord, help us today to come away with a better understanding of how you have both empowered and commanded us to walk in step with the Spirit, to walk in a way that glorifies you, to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, in the Canberra lockdown, we've had many things taken away from us for a season. One of the few things we still have is we have the joy of being able to go walking outdoors. And my wife loves to walk outdoors and to explore the great outdoors. The other day we were walking up and around and all over Gossan Hill, exploring this lovely area. And I quite enjoy walking with Leona. She loves the outdoors. She loves nature. But she has this amazing inbuilt sat-nav in her brain. She never gets lost. She always knows north and south and east and west. She always knows the best path home. So I just let her lead me. I walk wherever she'll walk. I'll follow because I can get lost in a phone booth. But Leona has this wonderful intuition about knowing where to walk. Well, as followers of Christ, we are called to look to him, our Lord and Savior, and follow him as we walk in this life. We are to walk in his footsteps. He's shown us how to live. Yes, he's our Lord, our Savior, our God, and he has shown us how we are to walk in a manner that pleases him, how to walk in a manner that adorns the gospel. And so we see here in this lovely, rich reading, Paul describes what this walk looks like that glorifies our Heavenly Father, that glorifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our first point is this. It's called out with the old and in with the new. As I said before, Paul now uses the imagery of clothing. We are to put off the old man to put on the new as we walk in a way that glorifies God. Looking now especially at verses 17 through 19. Well, let's read them again. Verses 17 through 19. Now I say this and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, ready to practice every kind of impurity. So Paul is describing what a walk looks like that glorifies God. And he gives us here in these three verses an example of what this walk should not look like, a negative example, if you will. He says, we are no longer to walk as the nations do. Now, the word translated Gentiles there is ethne in the Greek, from goyim in the Hebrew. It means the unsaved nations, people who don't know, have not heard the gospel of Jesus. And Paul says, what does the walk of the world look like? It's a walk in darkness. It's to walk around in nighttime, stubbing your toe, tripping over things. You don't know where you're going. You don't know how to get there. And Paul is saying, we are not to walk like this. We have been called to walk in the light. Now, Paul says, and note 2 in verse 17, I say and testify in the Lord. That's kind of a way of reinforcing what he is saying. It's for emphasis. He's saying, this is very important. You have been saved out of the world. You are to no longer walk in the way you used to walk. And we see there what a pagan walk looks like. He describes it there, especially in verses 18 and 19. They're walking in darkness. They are alienated from God. Their hearts are hardened. They've become callous. Their conscience has become hardened, become dull. And they pursue every kind of sensuality, every kind of impurity, greedy to practice them. Their thinking is absolutely futile. They can't see the truth of God because their hearts are hardened. It's a terrible picture of the way people walk who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But lest we ever feel superior, don't forget Ephesians 2. Paul said, we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. We were just like that. But for the grace of God, we would still be walking in darkness. Praise God, we have been saved. We have been saved out of darkness, brought into the light. We are no longer to walk as the nations do. We are to walk as children of God. And then in verses 20 through 24, he uses another metaphor. Now the metaphor of clothing, of taking off the old soiled garments and putting on the new shining holy garments we have been given through faith in Christ. Look at verses 20 and 21. He says, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. He's saying you have learned Christ. You are not to walk in that way. You have been saved from the walk of the nations. You no longer walk in that. Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 6, Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Isn't that a great verse? As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Very important command. And in verse 20, I love verse 20 when he says, you learned Christ. And no, he doesn't say you learned about Christ. We learn Christ. We entered into a loving relationship with him through faith, through God's grace. The Christian walk is all about Jesus. We follow him. He is both the source and the power of our new life, and he is the goal of our transformation. He is the goal of our walk. We are to walk in Christ likeness. Yes, we still stumble in sin. We have feet of clay. But as God is at work in us, his power and grace at work in us, his Holy Spirit indwelling us, we are to look more and more, ever so slowly, but we are to look more and more like Jesus. He is both the subject and the power of the gospel. Jesus said himself, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We are to abide in Jesus. And this means putting off the old and putting on the new self. Looking now at verses 22 to 24, we have this lovely imagery of taking off dirty clothing and putting on clean clothing. He says, you are to put off the old self, and which belongs to your former nature of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to put off and put on. And I believe we have to do this daily, because we still fight against the flesh, the world, and the devil. It is an ongoing spiritual battle. We have to daily put off our old sinful ways, to repent of them, and to put on the new. Paul says in a kind of a parallel passage in Colossians 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Renewed. Paul says here in verse 23, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Now, that's really important. We have been saved entirely through God's grace. And we are also, though, now as saved children of God, we are to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and not grieve the Holy Spirit. We are called to be conformed to our Lord Jesus and not conformed to the world. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is acceptable and perfect. So Paul says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He says here we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. This means, of course, focusing our minds on whatever is holy and good and commendable. It is to focus on God and his holy word to us, not to have our minds too often in the worldly, anti-godly media, but to spend more time with Christian brethren in God's word, in prayer, having our minds transformed by God's word. Our old self was corrupt through deceitful desires, but our new self is being created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And this is a daily discipline. Yes, we all stumble. Yes, we'll fall. But we have the power of God at work within us, enabling us to put off the old, to put on the new, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The point two is this. Our walk, we are to walk as a new creation in Christ. Looking now at verses 25 through 32, how to walk as a new creation in Christ. Well, we see here in the following verses, in verses 25 through 32, Paul really gets down now to the nitty-gritty of what it looks like to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. What does it look like to put off our old self, to put on the new? He gives us some very important examples of what this looks like. Now, note, throughout these examples there, look now at verses 25 through 32. There is a negative action followed by a positive action. For example, to be holy is not to just say no to sin. It is saying yes to God and his will for us. We don't just put off the old dirty clothes. We are to put on the new shining clothes. Note, secondly, that these commands here are all relational. They're all horizontal. In other words, our vertical relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with God, our Heavenly Father, is to affect the way we walk with others. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 6, what really counts is faith working itself out through love. And Paul here shows us how our faith in Jesus works itself out through love for our brethren. And finally, note, and in each one of these examples, Paul gives us a reason for each command. For example, he says, speak the truth because we are members of one body. Don't let your anger lead you into sin because you are giving the devil an opportunity. Use your speech to build up that it may give grace to those who hear. He says, forgive each other because God in Christ forgave you. So let's just look at these together in the brief time we have. Firstly, verse 25. And again, now he's applying what our walk looks like. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, this command goes far beyond just a mere don't lie or don't fib. He's saying you have learned the truth. Jesus is truth. He says, I am truth. I am life. We have learned the truth. We are to speak the truth. We are to speak the truth one to the other, especially in the church, because we are members of one another. We are one body in Christ, and we are called to speak the truth because our Lord is the truth. Paul has said back in verse 15, we are called to speak the truth to each other in love. Very important. You have to have the both held together, speaking the truth in love. When we do that, we build each other up. We build up the church and we glorify Jesus, the Lord of the church. God is a God of truth, and his people are called to speak the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14, verse 6. Speak the truth. Secondly, don't let anger lead you into sin. Looking now at verses 26 and 27, Paul writes, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, Paul does not say you will not get angry or don't get angry, because we live in a fallen world, and when we love, we all get angry when those we love are hurt or they hurt themselves. As parents, we get angry when our children disobey, when they walk in folly, when they walk in rebellion. When people try to hurt our children, we get very angry. That's part of love. But Paul says, don't let your anger lead you into sin. Our Heavenly Father is angry at sin, and yet his anger never causes him ever to sin. He is slow to anger. His anger is a measured, righteous indignation against sin and the terrible harm it causes. Listen to how God described himself in Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by in front of him, that is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. It's a very similar, we are to be like that. We are to be slow to anger. Do not let your anger lead you into sin. James wrote in James 1, verse 19, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Paul says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. He means do not let anger fester and stew and boil, but be quick to be reconciled. Be wary of just boiling and remaining in anger, because sin is very close by when you do that. When you remain angry, or when your anger builds, you are giving an opportunity to the devil, verse 27, to lead you into all kinds of terrible sin. Be wary of anger and be slow to anger. Well, thirdly, Paul says we are to replace stealing with generosity, verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. As children of God, we are, of course, to put off stealing. This belongs to the old man, the old woman. We are to put on generosity. Now, how do we steal today? Of course, there are many ways. For employees, it could be cheating our employer by cutting out from work early, by calling in sick when we're not sick, by taking work supplies, by claiming an illegal tax deduction. There are many ways in which we steal which aren't so obvious. Our bosses steal by pushing their employees too hard. There are many ways we can fall into this sin. But stealing ultimately is idolatry. It's saying, I don't trust God to give me my daily bread. I'll take what doesn't belong to me and provide for myself. And Paul says we are no longer to steal. But not only are we to then work for a living and earn our money honestly, we are to earn money to be generous. We are to be gracious, to share with anyone in need. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn, and to help our brethren when they are in need. When we give, when we tithe, when we give to others too, we are showing that God is the Lord of our hearts and not money. We are trusting God to give us our daily bread. Fourthly, Paul says, replace slander with encouragement. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We are to let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. He's saying here, don't gossip, don't tear down, don't destroy. Rather, use your speech for building up. Again, the negative and the positive. Don't use your speech to tear down, to destroy. Use your speech, your talk, to build up, to encourage, to edify, to equip. Put off wicked talk that belongs to the old man, the old woman. Put on a wholesome talk that builds up as part of the new man, the new woman. Jesus said, the way we talk reveals our heart in Matthew 12, verse 34, and we are called to talk in a way compatible with our very high calling in Christ. I love verse 30. Verse 30 is a very, very powerful verse to me. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have been told, Paul's already said, we have the Holy Spirit given to us as a seal. Jesus said, I am sending you the helper. And we have the Spirit of God within us, enabling us to walk in a new way, to walk in a way that honors Christ, the way that honors God. And yet, amazingly, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we grieve him when we walk in the ways of the old man, the old woman. That's a very sober warning to me. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by rather than cooperating him, by going back, putting on the old dirty clothes and walking in the way of the world, walking in sin. It grieves the Spirit. We've been told in Ephesians chapter 2 that as members of Christ, as members of his church, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, Ephesians 2:22. And disunity in the church grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hates sin and discord, and we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, and we are called to cooperate with the powerful indwelling Holy Spirit by walking in a manner worthy of our calling in Christ. Well, fifthly, Paul says, replace bitterness with forgiveness. Look now at verses 31 through 32. Paul says, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We see here six sinful attitudes and actions, again, all relational, and we are to put them away. We are to repent of them. We are to flee, to put away, to repent of bitterness, which is a sour spirit, sour speech. It is a poison, cynical, negative outlook. It is nursing a grudge. This is not to be the way we walk. Paul has said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Even in times of deprivation like the current lockdown, we have so much to rejoice in the Lord about. We are called to rejoice in him always. When we do that, when we focus our minds and will on rejoicing in our Lord, well, we will naturally put away things like bitterness. Paul says, put off wrath, which is explosive anger, terrible rage. He says, put off anger, meaning here a sullen hostility. He says, put off clamor, which is a shouting and screaming. It is to drag others down. Put off slander, which is to speak evil against others behind their backs. And finally, put off malice, which is ill will, wishing evil for others. These are all traits that tear down. These are the ways of the old man, the old woman from which we have been saved, and we are to walk in them no longer. Rather, verse 32, the positive example, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's a lovely word, tenderhearted. It's used often to describe God. This word can mean compassionate. Jesus was full of compassion. We are to be compassionate to our brethren, giving grace, even when grace may not be deserved. And I love this one, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. This echoes that wonderful line in the Lord's Prayer in which we pray that God would forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The Greek here can be translated literally, show grace to each other, just as in Christ, God showed grace to you. This is how we are called to walk in the church, in our homes, with our wives, our husbands, our children, with our families, with our colleagues, with our schoolmates. When we walk in this way in the power of the Spirit, we become a very powerful witness to the amazing grace of God at work within us. And I wanted to close with verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, because they really summarize entirely what our new walk is to look like. So point 3, our final point is this, walking in our Father's footsteps. Now, I can recall when my three children were much smaller, walking on the beach with them, comparing footsteps. And, you know, they would try to match Dad's footsteps. I can recall doing the same to my dad, walking in his big footsteps when I was a little boy. It's a lovely kind of rite of passage, seeing your children grow and their footsteps grow and to the point where they match or even surpass you. Well, we are called here to walk in our Heavenly Father's footsteps. And we have this wonderful summary of the Christian walk in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, note too, just as a little reminder, when Paul wrote Ephesians, there were no verses or chapters. They were added many, many years later. So I think chapters 5, verses 1 and 2 really summarize beautifully the contents of chapter 4. We have a wonderful summary of how we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And firstly, verse 1, therefore, Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's an incredibly powerful statement, called to imitate our loving Heavenly Father. It's very daunting, of course, but we can only do so because his power is at work within us. And note too, part B, as his beloved children. Isn't that lovely? God saved us. When we were yet enemies of God, he saved us. And he has made us through faith in Jesus, through his atoning death for our sin. We have been made God's own beloved children. And we are to look more and more like a chip off the old block, to use an Aussie phrase. We are to more and more imitate and resemble our loving Heavenly Father, knowing we can only do so because His Spirit is at work within us. And point B, and finally, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What does the Christian walk look like? What should it look like? It should look like love. Walk in love. I love that. The word love there is the Greek word agape. This is that godly, God-given love. It is a love that is self-sacrificing, others preferring, a love that shows God's love at work within us. We are to increasingly aim to strive to be Christ-like in our love, to love our brethren as Jesus loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We can never love like He loved us, but we are called to be mirrors of His amazing love. Even if our mirrors are dull and cloudy and dirty, we are to show, we are to mirror the amazing love of Christ poured out upon us by the way we love our brethren. It's a very powerful charge, and it summarizes perfectly what our walk is to look like, what we are to aspire to as we cooperate and not grieve the indwelling Holy Spirit. Imitate God as His beloved children and walk in love as Jesus loved us. Wonderful charge, a wonderful summary of how we are called and empowered to walk as followers of Jesus, as children of God. Let's now bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these wonderful verses, Lord. There's so much riches in here. Father, we just are amazed at Your grace to us, that, Father, You have even called us Your beloved children. And Father, that Jesus loved us so much, He gave Himself up for us. Lord God, I pray that You would empower us, equip us, and encourage us to walk in a manner worthy of the high calling to which You have called us in Christ, as members of His church, as Your own beloved children. Father, we know this is never legalism, Father. Your power and grace are at work within us. You have changed us. But Father, help us to walk in step with the Spirit. And Father, this is the way to the good life, the way You made us to live. Father, life only works. We will only have peace and joy in each and every season when we walk in this manner. So Father, help us today again to commit ourselves to putting off the old self, to putting on the new, and Father, to walk as Your beloved children, walking in